Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful day out there. Hope you're enjoying it. Here we are on Thursday. I'll be at Honeydew Donuts tomorrow morning. Hopefully you can come out and see me. Busy show today. Busy show. We are going to have 9 o'clock hours, open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. We'll talk about the shooting down there in Brown, that investigation, all of that. In the 10 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Jose Matos. Now, Jose Matos, of course, a financial advisor, local businessman, and he has a program here on Saturday mornings, but I know a lot of you are not able to listen to it, so I wanted to bring him right here to the time slot that you can listen, that you do listen. And I'm bringing in Jose to talk about the big, beautiful bill and how it impacts you, what it could mean for you, depending on your personal circumstances, and the Trump accounts. These are the savings accounts that were just started for your children, your grandchildren, your future grandchildren and children. The one that Michael Dell gave $7 or $8 billion, he and his wife, the other day at the White House. I played the clips here. But I'm in no position to talk about those in any kind of authority. But Jose is. It's his profession. It's what he's been doing for a couple of decades. So I thought I'd bring in Jose Matos at the 10 o'clock hour. We could talk about that and the upcoming taxes and all that stuff. Interesting stuff. And again, I think you should listen to Jose on Saturday mornings, Saturday afternoon rather, but it's not always an option for everybody, right? So, and Jose is my friend, and I find his information to be really, really good, and I liked working with him. I was his producer a couple of years ago on Saturday afternoons, and I enjoyed that experience. So I'm replicating it by bringing him in today in the next hour. At 11 o'clock, we'll have Ward 1 City Councilor and newly minted Republican, Leo Choquette. We'll talk to Leo about everything that's going on that he wants to comment on, to include city business, obviously. So Leo will be here at 11 o'clock. Leo will be here at 11 o'clock. Tomorrow, be joined by Barry Sylvia, coming to talk about the meeting that he attended on the sewage treatment plant. And after that, we'll be joined by school committee member. He's coming up on the end of his reign, Ross Grace Jr., friend of mine, will be coming in on Friday, talk about his time on the school committee. Maybe he'll opine on who he'd like to see get appointed. I don't know. But Ross Grace Jr., who spent a couple of terms on the New Bedford School Committee, will be here tomorrow. We'll be broadcasting from Honeydew Donuts. So come on down. You can see us and all of that. So, what'd you think of Trump's speech last night, the president? I mean, look, I liked it. He's 100% right about the border. We're no longer in a state of emergency. The governor had us under a state of emergency because of the migrant crisis. No change in law. Just a change in people in the White House. People are policy. Remember they were telling us, oh, we need an immigration bill. We can't do anything until we get an immigration bill. Obviously, that wasn't true. State of emergency is over here in Massachusetts. We don't have the migrants flooding into the country anymore. The border is closed. It took will. Not a change in law, just the will to enforce the law. Let that be a lesson to you. 508-996-0500. Very instructive clip here I'm going to play in a moment from WBZ News. By the way, I direct your attention to the New Bedford Light, newbedfordlight.org. Very important column by Jack Spillane, talking about who the next city council president's going to be. So check out Jack Spillane at the New Bedford Light. You ought to do that anyway. If you follow me on Facebook, if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, I always share Jack's columns because I always find them enlightening. I hope you do as well. Sometimes infuriating, no doubt about it, but always accurate. So here's WBZ talking about the missing shooter and how the search has expanded to Bristol County. Our home county, the state of Massachusetts, is now involved, or continues to be involved, in the search for the shooter at Brown University. So here is WBZ. You can check it out online, WBZ.com. Here it is.
Providence police have released a new photo of a person they are looking to speak to. Not a suspect, they say, but someone they would like to speak with. And WBZ has learned the investigation has now broadened beyond Providence. Police in North Attleboro and in Plainville say investigators have been or will be in their areas as they track down leads and witnesses. But they also say there's nothing to suggest that a suspect is in Massachusetts. As WBZ's Aaron Parsegian shows us, the most intense part of the investigation still centers on the Brown University neighborhood.
Tonight, as the manhunt continues, Providence police say they've uncovered DNA and physical evidence they hope brings them closer to the person of interest in the Brown University shooting. And now they're looking to identify and speak with this individual who crossed paths with that person of interest hours before the attack.
This person was in the vicinity where the subject of interest was that we wanted to, that we actually have an interest on. Close enough that we feel that we need to speak with them.
Investigators maintain these are still the best images out there of the person of interest, who they describe as a 5'8" man with a stocky build, who was seen pacing near the area of campus for hours before. Right now, officials say there is still no video of that person inside the section of the engineering building where 11 students were shot.
That's why we're asking the public to help us to ensure within that map area that I mentioned, with the borders between Wickerton, Brook, all those areas, Gaino, that if you have a camera system, to reach out to us.
Now, days since the attack, a still in the air surrounds Brown University, a campus cleared of most students who've gone home for winter break.
And usually there's so much happiness and laughter and joy and lots of students and professors and teachers, and there's just no one.
A somber scene as those who live in this area of Providence stop, pray, and lay bouquets near portraits of Ella Cook and Muhammad Aziz Umerzakov, the two bright students who were killed.
What would cause someone to come into this building and do this to these students? That's the answer that I'd really want to know.
And with a person of interest still out there, there remains optimism someone will see something that brings justice for the victims.
Someone's going to recognize him. Someone will recognize the video, and eventually they'll catch him. They have to.
And it can be tough to hear, but police continue asking for patience from the public as they continue the investigation and this manhunt. In Providence, Aaron Parsegian, WBZ News.
Aaron.
So, if you want to see the video, if you haven't seen it for some reason, obviously I can't bring it to you over the radio, but you can go on to WBZ, and there's other places as well to see it, but I did think that clip from WBZ was relevant. The other thing I have added to the program for my deaf listeners is sign language. I have someone here in the studio signing everything I say. So the deaf listeners out there, I know you can't see them, but we do have, because I was inspired by the press conference, and I thought to myself, having someone doing sign language about what you're saying really makes what you're saying at least appear more important. So I brought in a sign language person who's here in the studio with me. They're signing a rather energetically, actually. While I'm talking on the radio, I hope they can keep up with me. So anyway, for my deaf listeners, I'm bringing you that service. I've got a sign language person here in the studio with me, signing out every single thing that I say, right? So I thought it was very significant seeing Brett Smiley, the mayor of Providence, and Chief Perez and the governor. But right there was a sign language person. And I said, that's a service I should provide. So anyway, I've got a sign language person here in the studio with me. The DNA, my understanding, all right, Fox News has sent Paul Morrow, a retired New York cop, police officer, detective, to Rhode Island, to Providence, to cover the case. He was saying this morning that they found unfired rounds that had been ejected from the weapon, they believe, of the shooter. And that they believe they'll be able to lift DNA evidence. That WBZ clip that I just played referenced DNA. The theory being that somebody touched, the shooter touched the bullets, the casings, the rounds, to load the weapon. And that since they weren't fired, the DNA wouldn't have been burned off or destroyed. It's still on the bullets. And that's a very important breakthrough, provided the extrapolation is correct, right? That the DNA is on the bullets. If you've ever... So one of the best movies, I think, to learn about how to prepare for a crime is The Town. If you've seen The Town, about Boston area bank robbers, they're wiping down the weapons with alcohol to include the individual bullets, right? That's to keep all the DNA off the bullets, because they know you're going to end up leaving rounds behind. Just happens. If you ever fired a automatic or a semi-automatic weapon, you know that there are jams and you got to clear it, all that stuff. So, but this guy had the ability to somehow avoid a lot of cameras. So he may have been cognizant of the fact you should wipe the bullets down with something to destroy the DNA ahead of time. So maybe it won't turn out to be DNA, but they believe that they do have potential DNA for the shooter. I'm assuming it's off the unfired rounds that they collected and that we're now finding out about, right? 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the program. I see you people on hold. It's kind of open phones. We'll have a guest at 10 o'clock. A guest at 11 o'clock. So if you got something you want to talk about now, I'd love to hear from you, right? All right. Before we go to break, I want to remind you that cracks in your windshield are dangerous, but you can get them fixed very easily, very inexpensive. You have car insurance, they cover glass, right? Citywide Glass will bill your insurance company, so it won't cost you anything out of your pocket to get your windshield fixed. Not only that, they'll come right out to you. All they got to do is know about you. Give them a call. They're in Dartmouth and Fall River. Citywide Glass. You can find them online at citywideglass.net. Their mobile tech team will come to your home or your work parking lot, and they'll fix your windshield. They'll bill your insurance company, so it won't cost you anything out of your pocket. The really cold weather and the temperature changes are coming, and that's no good for a cracked windshield. All right, we're going to go to a break. While I'm doing that, call Citywide Glass, Fall River, Dartmouth, citywideglass.net. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. I know that upgrading your energy's efficiency can really feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything for you, from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They will even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting for you. We got a bunch of people on hold, and you can be there too at 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Thank God you're providing a signer, because it really helps me out a lot.
What's happening? Hello? Yes, go ahead.
Hey, I was just saying, thank God you provide a signer. It helps me out a lot. I don't know if you heard Trump's speech last night or got to check it out.
I did, yeah. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, I think somebody got to him and changed his format, because there was not a lot. He tried a couple of times to be bombastic, then he kind of reeled it right back in. And I think the communication was much better. And it didn't allow the media, the Democrats, to put somebody up to counter everything. And he used charts and stuff, which reminded me of who's that independent candidate?
Ross Perot.
Ross Perot.
Me too.
He used the whole Ross Perot thing. And I thought that was really good. I think that he made his points, and I was really disappointed in, you know, what I was seeing with ABC over the hour, and they just shot everything down versus took an objective approach to it. Well, so yeah,
you know,
really liked it.
The thing is that you can't argue with the fact that he closed the border. So if you were in favor of that, and I believe most people are, he stopped the emergency crisis here in Massachusetts. I mean, can you imagine how many more billions of dollars the individual states would be spending, including Massachusetts mostly, because we have that right to shelter law. They really stretched out of proportion to what it's for. That's all because of Donald Trump.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that it's like right down here. I don't, you know, I follow gas prices. Our gas prices are down at 220 now for low unleaded. And it's I would say it's coming down 6 to 8 cents a week. And it's very consistent. I mean, so all of these indicators are going in the right direction, which is good for everybody. And I know that there's some prices that are still high, especially some groceries, but in general, things are going in the right direction. So
thank you for the call, my friend, as always. Look, energy is in every price. When gasoline and particularly diesel goes down, as it is, we all save. You save at the cost in the grocery stores. You save on everything. You really do. You understand companies have to account in their prices for the cost of transportation. It's part of doing business. So one of the few things the president can control is energy supply. So I think his plan is working. 508-996. Kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. What's the name of the sign language interpreter you have there?
Oh, they don't want to have a name. They don't want to get their name out publicly. They're not a public person, but go ahead.
Oh, all right. So they're not going to talk.
No. No, they're signing.
Right. Yeah, I know, but I thought they were a guest in the studio and they might...
No.
All right. I guess I was wondering why sign language looks so much different than it did, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. I think you know what I'm talking about. And they've been asked, and I just don't understand why it's so emotive, why it's so bright-faced, even though that doesn't match the speaker at the podium. It's, like, really distracting where they raise their eyebrows and constant bright face and then not bright face. So why do they do that?
I have a theory. It's not scientific by any means. Is it maybe that a lot of the people doing the sign language are frustrated mimes?
Go on.
Right. In other words, they want to be out being a mime, but there's no real market for mimes anymore. Right. So they've transferred over to the sign language business.
Well, I see what you get at. I'm surprised you went slightly more disrespectful than I did. But yeah, it's like, look at me, look at me,
right.
Look at me.
Yeah, I didn't mean any disrespect by it. I'm sorry you interpreted it that way. I mean, I think they're very skilled people, and thanks for the call. I think they're very skilled people, and they serve a valuable purpose. Growing up, my Nana, who had adopted my mom, always needed, she was very hard of hearing at a point where she had this, like, she was, everything was archaic back then, but this archaic hearing aid that she wore around her neck, and she finally got an operation, was able to hear properly. But yeah, I think it's a number of my friends in college took sign language. Maybe some of you did as well, because it satisfied a foreign language requirement for graduation. So I know a number of people who, while not hard of hearing at all, took sign language. So 508-996-0, kind of open phones if it's on your mind. Really, I want to hear your thoughts on the shooting down at Brown University, the investigation. What do you think of that? What about the fact that it's clear Brown University has 1,200 cameras, and all we're seeing is a little bit of film? I'm not saying they're covering anything up, but does that maybe indicate that the shooter knew a lot more about Brown University security than they're letting on? Or they, you know what I'm saying? That seems really suspicious to me, that somebody was able to avoid that many cameras. I know from a small radio station in Rhode Island, their reporter asked early on about a previous case where the Attorney General, Mr. Nerona, was involved in a hit-and-run case, I believe it was hit-and-run, it was an automobile case, where they disclosed 1,200 cameras at Brown University and license plate readers. So that's a fact. So the fact that they have very little footage, does that lead you to suspect that maybe the shooter had more knowledge of the Brown University cameras, license plate readers, all of that, than the average bear? Right? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Could just be luck, though. It really could just be luck or unluck, whatever. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning.
Hello.
I have some knowledge of that area because I used to live in Providence.
Okay.
And in fact, I used to go up to Hope High School and with a friend of mine and play tennis, which is just up the street from that particular area there.
Okay.
And that particular building is like not on the proper, the campus proper of Brown University. It's on Hope Street. It's sort of separated from the, it's like a I don't know how to describe it, but it's not on the central campus of Brown University. It's on the other side of Hope Street, where there's an athletic facility with a, you know, the Brown.
Know exactly what you're talking about. I do, because I know that facility, the athletic facility.
Yeah, it's like adjacent to that field where Brown plays their football games.
Yep.
And that might have something to do with the fact that they don't have a large collection of cameras there, or they don't have the video evidence that's needed. Something that perplexes me, that there were students who survived that attack.
Yes.
Must have seen the person, at least got a glimpse of him. Of course, I'd be diving for cover. I understand that.
Right, right.
But they must have got a glimpse of him, and by looking at the pictures they're showing on TV, couldn't they tell whether that is the guy that entered the building that was shooting people?
You would think. I mean, there were a lot of, what I understand, I think it's the same as your understanding, there were a lot of witnesses, and some of them survived.
That's right. Yeah, because they talked to some of them. You know, I've seen the reporters talking to a few of them. The real reason I called you this morning, though, was I talked to Tim Weisberg earlier.
Okay.
And I told him that I had inherited a kind of a pretty large coin collection from my late brother.
Okay.
And they're American Silver Eagles. I got like about 70 in uncirculated condition,
really?
Pretty proofs and other things. But what perplexes me, because the price of silver right now is, and gold has gone way up.
Yes.
Is how do you cash those things in safely? I mean, you don't want to run an ad and just get anybody coming to your house. You might end up getting robbed and murdered. Who knows? But, you know, I mean, he tells me that you have a good knowledge of you know, valuable metals and all that stuff.
I used to be in that business.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I follow it. I chase silver. Remember when it was about $3 $3 an ounce?
Well, I've been following it ever since I got the, you know, I got the coins. But it's not. It's like something I didn't do. It's my brother who collected the coins, you know? So I don't have an extreme knowledge of what you do, you know?
Yes. So I can help you. What I would suggest, I don't want you to give your phone number here over the phone. Are you anywhere reasonably close to the station?
I'm located in Dartmouth.
Okay. Do you want to drop your phone number off, or do you want to email me?
I don't have a computer at
okay.
this time. I'm not on the internet.
Would it be easy for you to leave your phone number at the radio station?
I could do that.
Okay. Why don't you do that, and I'll be happy to help you out and give you, you know, point you in the right direction. Happy to do that.
I don't want to give my phone number over
to you. No, I get that. So what I'm saying is, if you drop by the radio station.
Oh, I see.
And leave your phone number.
You're located on Schenectady Road, aren't you?
Yeah, well, right next to the Pub 99 in that plaza, there's
Across
a liquor
the
store.
Across from where the bowling alley used to be.
Yes, sir.
Ago.
That's where I used to wait for the bus to go to Camp Massasoit. Yep.
Yeah. I'm familiar with that area. My a relative of mine lived on West Island, so we used to go up there all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So come here, and on the WBSM, you'll see the sign over the door. Just ring the bell, leave your phone number. I have your name here, and I'll be happy to help you out.
How did you get my name, just out of curiosity?
It's caller ID.
Oh, really? Okay, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. HS,
it's feature,
right?
It's a feature I don't have on my phone. But,
yeah,
you know.
Well, you're lucky, because it's a it's a pain. I wish I didn't have it here, to tell you the truth. I love just answering the phone and saying, what's happening, you know? But no, hey, anything I can do for you, just drop your phone number off, that way we can handle it privately.
Yeah, I'd like to cash that in at a time when the silver is going high. I guess there's a shortage of silver right now because they use it as an electric conductor in a lot of these solar panels and other things, you know?
It's very valuable, today, look, my dad, when I was a kid, my dad collected silver. And when the Hunt brothers tried to corner the market in 1980, it went to the highest point it's ever gone. And my dad said, we used to play with the silver coins, right, on their big bed. And he used to say to me,
I got his number off.
Okay, thank you. I got your number. I'll give you a call. So my dad used to put the silver out for me and my brothers. We'd play with it, whatever. And my dad, I remember he had these bags, cloth bags full of silver from MBIS. And he said to me, boys, I don't think it's ever going to get higher than this. And it turns out he was right. He turned it in. It was about $50 an ounce. And I remember him coming home with a lot of cash that day.
Well, I've watched the CSN commercials where they sell coins, you know, on TV.
Yes.
And the lowest I've seen on uncirculated, in pristine condition American Silver Eagles is around $60 per coin. But that we're talking about condition here, which is very important when it comes to these things. But
numismatics is what it's... Numismatics, that's about the condition and the date, the rarity. It's over and above the spot price on the metal.
Right, because there's two things. We're talking about the pure value of the silver itself.
Yes.
And we're talking about its collectability and, you know, the value to collectors.
Yes.
So it's two different things, actually, you know.
Totally. And every coin is different.
That's right. These are in excellent condition. And I got three of the proofs, too, which come in these beautiful little boxes with right from the U.S. Mint. And these... They don't allow these, I guess, to drop into a bucket when they strike them.
Okay.
They're taken out individually, so there's no scratches, nothing on these coins. It's like just perfect, you know.
That's what people are looking for.
Hey, yeah.
Listen, I'll give you a call later this afternoon when I get off the air, my friend. I've got your number.
Okay, that'd be nice. I hope I'll be home. If not, just leave a message.
I will leave a message. No problem at all. All right, thank you, my friend. Have a great day. Yeah, happy to help people out if I can. All right, look, I see you on hold, but I do have to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. One of my favorite callers coming up next, so stick around.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. It's a beautiful day here in Fairhaven. I hope it's beautiful wherever you are. Taking your calls today at 508-996-0500. In the 10 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Jose Matos. Talk about a lot of the Trump tax bill stuff. Jose Matos has a program here on Saturdays. He's a financial professional. And thought I'd bring him in because I know a lot of you don't have the opportunity to hear him on Saturday afternoons. And I think he's just got a tremendous amount of information. And a lot of things have changed with this big, beautiful bill. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll have newly minted Republican, Ward 1 City Council Leo Choquette. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
How you doing, Chris?
Good. How you doing, my friend?
All right. The last caller kind of stole my thunder, but... that's exactly what I was thinking of. All the people that survived the attack on Brown, none of them could look at those pictures and say, no, it wasn't that guy. That guy wasn't dressed like this. You know, you looked at the wrong person, et cetera, et cetera. I don't get that part, Chris. I don't understand why all those people that survived are not identifying the shooter.
Look, my understanding, you've been in combat, so you're probably the best person, really, to talk about this in the sense that you've had people, my understanding, firing bullets at you, and could you identify, you know what I'm saying? In other words, the stress has got to be enormous. I've never been in that situation.
But at least a look, Chris. I'm not saying you could say, well, he had, you know, blue eyes and mustache, et cetera. But a general look, even if you're running away from somebody, you have a general, you can give some kind of description of on the person. I out of all those people, I don't get that part. Secondly, are they is there a possibility that it could be somebody from the inside, like a student?
I think it's entirely possible. The thing that you heard me saying it about the fact that this person was able to elude most of the cameras on campus and in the area.
Right.
Look, I'm speculating completely, but leads me to believe, could it have been a disgruntled former employee?
Yep.
Someone who knew the security profile of the university.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, who's, you know, disgruntled employees is often who comes back and commits a terrible act at the company. You hate to say it, but it happened. We've seen it happen before.
Oh, yes, all the time. All
right?
The time. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, if we're thinking that, I mean, I'm sure they are too.
Oh, yeah.
But I just, you know, and all the things that I was hearing, I don't know how true it is, but they were yelling terrorists, ock, bock, whatever they supposed to say.
Right.
I don't know how true that stuff is. You don't hear too much more about it at all anymore, but it just goes to show you how rumors start, though, right?
Big time.
Big time. Anyway, that's all I had to really ask. The gentleman that called before, we were on the same page. We're kind of thinking the same thing.
Tony, I appreciate the call. Appreciate your contribution to the program. Again, he was in Vietnam, my understanding. And so he knows what it is to be shot at. And I don't know. My concern is not so much with the witnesses, although his point is 100% correct. At least out of all of them, some of them. And, of course, we don't have all the information, but my takeaway is, how was the guy able to elude all those cameras in Providence, on the campus of Brown University? Does that mean that they had information about those cameras? It's a frightening possibility. That's what I'm thinking. What are you thinking? 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yes. Good morning, Chris.
Hello.
Hey, the two things that I haven't heard. The original guy they went after found him in the hotel in Coventry. Where did they originally get that intel from to think he was the one? And number two, why aren't we seeing the state police at the press conferences?
Those are two good questions. My assumption, because he had guns in his hotel room. He's from out of state. My theory is that somebody on the cleaning crew probably said there's a guy in room 305 with a bunch of guns.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's my theory. I don't know. But that's, you know.
I never heard anything from the press conference except where they got the intel from to go after that guy originally.
I'm sure they're giving that guy fruit baskets and baskets of cash, you know. We're sorry, sir.
Yep.
They ought to be because they put his name out.
Yep.
Someone did.
And I haven't seen the state police at the press conferences. I don't understand that. Where do they fall into this?
So I saw a guy, and again, thanks for the call. They have very distinct uniforms. In fact, they've won awards for that, the Rhode Island State Police. I've seen a trooper, a couple troopers, in the background occasionally, but I don't hear a lot of commentary from them. I think the governor is speaking for them because they directly report to him, Governor McKee. State police probably wish it wasn't that way, but who am I? 508-996-0. Take a break. We'll be right back. Open phones, guys. Want to talk about your theories on the shooting down in Brown. I played a clip from WBZ. The search has moved to Massachusetts. Although I don't think the shooter's here. There may be witnesses. I don't know. Stick around. Welcome back to the program. I understand, Robert Plant. I understand. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. Hello. I know you've only got a couple of minutes. Has your opinion changed, evolved at all on the Brown shooting?
Sure. Every time there's new information, I my opinion changes.
Yeah. I'm not hearing any new information, though. But one thing that has been on my mind is Smalley. First off, what the hell is he even doing there? Because he's the man, you know. It seems like you should leave it to law enforcement to do their thing instead of putting politics into it, which, you know. But I think that if he is telling people to, you know, go about their daily lives, everything is okay, there's no more danger, that leaves a crumb of evidence that he knows something that he's not telling us, or local law enforcement they know something that they're not telling us. That tells me, just reading into it, that it was a targeted strike.
In other words, there's a personal connection maybe between the shooter and the victim. One of the victims.
Right, and especially if
possible.
There are five witnesses that said that he yelled, Allahu Akbar, that is motive. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but I think if they did in fact yell that, the shooter did in fact yell that, wouldn't that mean that's possible that it was a terrorist attack, which means there isn't a personal connection between the victim and the shooter.
Right. But those are important details.
They are.
Those are very important. And with that, I just read this morning, there are 50, 60 people in that room where the shooting happened. I mean, up until now, we hadn't heard numbers like that.
No, I hadn't heard that. But
yeah, 50, 60 people were in the room, according to people that were in the room. Howie Carr is the only person who's come out and said that five witnesses